You're listening to Soul Survivors, ESL Teaching and Expat Life in Seoul, Korea.
Welcome to Soul Survivors, podcasting from a Starbucks somewhere in Seoul, Korea. Soul Survivors is your weekly podcast about surviving and thriving in Seoul, Korea as an ESL teacher. I'm your host, Carl, and with me today are my co-hosts, John and Sarah. And Sarah, how are you doing? How's your cold, Sarah?
It's getting better. Yeah, I'd have to say that, but still always here. That's what, you know, the thing about teaching kids, you never really get rid of it.
That's true, too. Yeah, so, you know, during wintertime, I stopped calling them children. I call them little virus distribution factors.
Vectors.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And John, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
And fall fell rather abruptly this week, didn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm used to a gentler transition.
I mean, there was no transition.
Wow. I looked at in the 50s at night. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's awesome,
but
though.
Aside from that, I'm fine.
I mean, I think it usually is a bit more of a gentle transition here. Like, I know in Toronto, Labor Day, and then the next day it's like just God throws the weather switch, and then it's cold.
Mm.
Yeah, which is actually kind of nice because, you know, when it's no longer summer.
Plan for it.
Yeah.
It's possible that it's just as abrupt where I was in Maine for the last several years, but since it never gets nearly as hot in Maine as it got here, I noticed it more here.
But you can wear white in Korea all year around.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I don't think there's any social prohibition against that. All right. So let me give our email address for our listeners. If they ever want to email us a question, they can email gokorea@gmail.com. And our blog is gokorea.livejournal.com. So that's G-O and Korea with a K. Unfortunately, we're going with the International Geographic Association's convention on the naming of Korea. But they use a K, so we're going to go with the K. I think we're going to have a new weekly feature, sort of at the top of every show. It's going to be Korean Snack of the Week. Our snack this week is something called Matdongsan. No, this is more for John's benefit, because Sarah and I, we've been here, how about 12 years or something, Sarah?
Yeah, I've been here my whole life. I'm Korean.
It almost seems like it, yeah. You've been here like three,
this Sarah. Is my third year.
I'm on three, too. So,
okay.
But John, as we said in the last podcast, you've been here since June.
End of June.
June,
yes.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
So I'm still quite fresh.
Yeah, we're trying to school
not jaded
you.
Not yet or anything.
Yeah, we're trying to school you in all things Korean. So we brought John some Matdongsan. Mat, Sarah, you know what that means?
Mat, doesn't it mean flavor?
Or taste. Yeah, taste. And then dong, you know what dongsan means?
I have no idea.
Well, san means
like mountain.
Yeah. Dongsan, I think, means hill.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's kind of like taste hill.
It looks a bit like a pretzel stick, so I'll try it and see what it is.
Go ahead, John.
Doesn't taste like a pretzel. No.
How is it?
It's sweet.
All right.
In keeping with Korea sweet factors that I've noticed since I've gotten here.
Right. Good.
It's kind of like a tastes like a cross between kind of a pretzel and Cracker Jacks.
Yeah.
It's good.
But it's surprisingly
good,
isn't it?
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the first things I bought when I was here, mostly just because it was on sale.
Really?
You know? They have sales here. It's called, not two for one, but they call it one plus one.
Yeah, the one plus one.
Yeah, the one plus one, yeah. So that's kind of nice. Yeah, but one plus one, sometimes you can just get like outrageously great things, like crackers or milk or ice cream or one plus one laundry detergent is actually,
ooh,
yeah,
that's a good one.
I hold out for that. See, one plus one, so I'll do more like a two plus two, just stock up.
On the snack front, I have noticed that Korea, thankfully, is one of those countries where potato chips taste like potato chips, as I know them in America.
Ah.
I've been in other countries where they look like it, but they do something
off. It's just not the same.
Off. But not here. We're good. So if you're... Well, we're talking, I think, I'll talk later about what to bring and what not to bring. So don't worry about bringing extra potato chips.
Okay.
You can get them here.
Unless you're Canadian, and then it's like ketchup-flavored potato chips and maybe salt and vinegar.
Oh, you can buy salt and vinegar
some
places here.
Okay, but the ketchup-flavored potato chips, that's the one that Canadians... But I think it's more like... I don't think Canadians really enjoy the ketchup potato chips, but they just like to like... Well, you Americans don't have the ketchup potato chips, so...
There's a good reason for that.
I know.
Because it's gross.
anyway.
It sucks, I agree, yeah. Right, I should mention, too, that matongsan is actually kind of it's a very old Korean snack. I think it goes back to the 70s. There's three snacks in Korea. I call them like the holy trinity of Korean snacking that sort of go back to 70s. You've got the matongsan, and then you have banana milk. Have you tried the banana milk?
Yes.
I have not.
Okay.
So good.
I'll try it this week and report back.
Okay, you have the banana milk. Actually, if you go to our podcast, there's our little podcast icon is banana milk. And the third one is choco pies.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have tried those. I'm all over those.
Oh, you like choco pie? I think they're evil snacks. Oh, I don't know why.
Well, so you've got your chocolate, you've got your marshmallow.
Yeah, I got it.
You've got your cookie.
Yeah.
Oh. If you're lucky, you get some... You can also get like a fruit inside if you work it right.
Oh, a fruit in the choco pie. That's a special there.
Yeah.
The best choco pies I ever saw were the green tea choco pies, where there's this trend in Korea called the well-being trend.
Well-being.
Yeah. If it's made of, barley or if it's made of green tea, then it's necessarily healthy for you.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if it's, kind of wrapped in marshmallow and chocolate and cane sugar.
I think it was Paula Poundstone who came up with the idea of the protective chocolate outer covering.
Of course, yes. Right.
That's important.
Keeps all the health in.
All right, this week's main topic, it's a fairly common question among people who are interested in coming to Korea. I think they tend to think of it maybe like the day before they're about to leave for Korea. Well, what should I pack and what should I not pack? It's probably, maybe women probably have the hardest time deciding these kind of things, just because there's some major differences between Korean women things and Western women things.
Yes, plus women, tend to overpack and think they need to bring everything.
Well, that's not just a woman trait, trust me.
Right.
Really?
I call it panic packing, where you're like, okay, I'm just going to totally, just the basics, and it's going to... And then at the last moment, I'm like, well, what if my dad wins the Nobel Prize? I'm going to need a tuxedo. And and then I just start throwing things.
You never know.
It's true, I guess.
You just never know. It's like, when I came here, I had one of those really big hockey bags.
I did the same thing.
I played hockey when I was like 6 years old, and I grew up in Montreal, so you have to play hockey. And so I played hockey for about 2 years when I was about, maybe six or seven. But when you're young, you're that little, they don't have goalies. They just have a net, and then they hang your team's jersey from the net you're supposed to score on. And so somehow you manage to get down the ice and shoot the puck and try to get it in that net. So I did that for about 2 years. And in the third year, then they introduced goalies. And I'm like, I was lucky just to even get one goal a season. And now there's this guy.
Someone.
Yeah, in the middle of the net with like a stick. And it was vindictive. You know
they
what I mean?
They ruined it for you.
Exactly. So I'm like, I'm out of here. No more hockey for me. Oh, what was I talking about, actually?
About packing things in a hockey bag.
Packing things in a hockey bag. So, yeah, that's always a good thing to get a big hockey bag.
Especially the goalie bag.
Yeah.
That's even bigger. You can fit students in there, like if you ever want to, hide those students or something.
Take one back or something.
That's right. Put it in a hockey bag.
And the space bags are good, too, where you kind of, you squish all the air out of them. But the thing you have to remember about the space bags is they reduce volume, but they don't reduce the weight. So your bag can become very heavy very quickly when you begin to use those space bags. That's very important.
And yeah. 70 pounds when I came over and sacrificed clothes for books. There are several places where you can buy English books, expensive or not. But the selection, you know, if there's a special book or a few special books that are your favorites that you need to have near you, bring them, because you probably won't find them here.
That's true.
Yeah. The Canadian version of Amazon.com, they can't deliver to Korea anymore.
It's very
strange. I know they keep sending the packages back saying rejected. And no matter what email I send to the technical support at Amazon.ca, nobody can actually go from the technical support desk to my package to see what, you know, Korean Customs has stamped on the package. Why are they rejecting it? Because the address works okay for Amazon.com, but the Canadian version, it doesn't. So, So Sarah, what on your list? What's critical on your list? What things you should pack and should
not
pack? Well,
for the ladies, you may want to bring bras and underwear. Like, unless maybe your chest is like a 12-year-old boy, chances are you're not going to find a bra here.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's been very hard. Even for, you know, some of my self-admittedly small-chested friends, they can't even find bras here.
Really?
So, yeah. So that's a big one. Underwear, the same, you know. The Westerners aren't made the same as the Korean women, apparently. Let's see.
Toiletries, anything?
Toiletries. Ah, yes, again, for the ladies, the tampons. You can buy them here, but some people complain that they're just not as comfortable.
Really?
as like, the American brand. I disagree, though. I think the ones you can buy here are, you know, exactly the same as back home, but other people have problems. They, like, have problems with the tampons scratching up their insides or something. You know, sorry to be vulgar, but...
See, is this a real phenomenon, or is it just maybe...
I'm not sure, you know? I have to scientifically test this.
So it could be tampon nationalism, you know?
It could be. I think it may very well be.
Western tampons are superior to these Korean tampons.
I find
could
that they're exactly the same.
More in their heads than in their...
Other
yes,
places.
Yes.
Thank you, John. do they bust them down into like heavy flow, light flow? Do they have that sort of variety?
Not as much here. It's harder to find like the super and super plus.
There's a super flow.
Oh, yes, there's super flow. You can go down from your like junior slim, slender regular or something like that all the way up to your super plus heavy flow days, you know?
I remember one time a woman I was living with, she sent me out to buy tampons for her, and I didn't, like, I'm 25, I don't know, I'm a male, so I just, you know, tampons.
They're not all the same.
Exactly, grab the first tampons I see, and then, you know, of course, you know, you throw a comb and mouthwash, and you got to sort of,
right,
just like the buying the condoms, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Hopefully they'll go through the checkout line without being actually noticed.
Exactly. But I think when you buy tampons for a woman, then you also have to be like, give me a couple copies of Hustler magazine, you know?
That's right.
Just sort of like, you know, I am a man. But tampons, yeah. So I gave them to my girlfriend, and she's just like, oh, my God, these are heavy flow, you know? Like, maybe this was, like, insulting her or something. I don't know. Like, you know, honey, you bleed like a stuck pig every, you know, once
Yay!
A month. But, yeah. But then turned out it was a heavy flow month for her.
See,
so,
there you go.
I know. Did she thank me, though? No.
No.
Anything else, Sarah?
Shoes. I'm fortunate because I can wear the shoes here in Korea. But if you're over maybe a size 8, Western size, bring your own shoes.
Ah, right. Yes. Okay. Right. So maybe women with bigger feet, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Because my one friend, she's Korean, but she kind of has bigger feet. I won't mention her name. And and she always seems to have a problem finding sort of the bigger shoe size.
Yeah, I think all of my female friends do as well.
Yeah. John, you're new.
Right.
Yeah. So anything you've sort of found, like, you're like, oh, geez, if I just knew this thing.
I wish I had brought more lemon heads.
Who?
Oh,
what?
Yum.
What?
Lemon heads. What? My favorite
heads.
Sour candy in the world.
Ah,
you can get sour candy here, but it's not the right sweet to sour mix for me. I wish I'd brought another suitcase filled with lemon heads.
Lemon heads or any cinnamon candies.
Yes, good.
Yeah,
yes.
Like hot tamales or red hots or any of that kind of stuff.
Have you found cinnamon, though, is like hot cinnamon is not a popular flavor in Korea?
No, it's not at all.
Yeah. I got some, what are those?
They do hot, though.
Yeah, you would think they would do cinnamon.
That's like one time I took some of my students, I took them for Mexican food. And I thought, well, Mexican food is like Korean food, but just wrapped a different way.
Right.
And they were just like, oh, teacher, yoki, yoki. Which I think is Korean for strange. Yoki, yoki. Yeah, they did not like the Mexican food whatsoever. But it's Korean food, just
different.
Not, yeah, just different. Yeah.
They it's fun when you give Korean students cinnamon candy. They freak out.
Yeah. But that actually would be something on my list, is if you like taco seasoning,
Yeah,
bring yourself like a Costco kind of gross of that taco seasoning. Yeah, that's sort of good. All right, Sir John, your favorite candies?
Yes, lemonheads.
Okay, all right.
Bring your favorite candy.
All right.
And if you don't bring your favorite candy, could you bring me some of my favorite candy?
Me too.
You're on your way out?
Pixie sticks.
Yeah, or if you really enjoy our podcast and you're in Maine... Is this a regional candy, like Moxie
no,
soda or
all
something?
All over the world.
Oh, okay.
All of it.
All over America.
All
right,
sorry.
Okay. All right. I won't go Canadian on your ass. But, yeah, so I guess if you really enjoy our podcast and you're all over the world, i.e. America, and you encounter this candy, lemon heads, it's a shame that Ray...
Right.
Nice one.
your lemon. Oh, is that where they get the name?
Probably from the candy.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So yeah, if you encounter some lemon heads and we'd like to mail them to John, use our email address gokorea@gmail.com. That's Korea with a K and a G O go, and we'll give you a mailing address, and you can just
send candy.
Curry favor with
love bomb John with lemon head candies. All right, so John, sorry, I keep interrupting you.
What was I talking about?
Candies. What else would you would you bring?
More books.
Well, right, books, okay.
More books.
I notice you're actually reading The Hobbit in the original Greek.
Well, of course, it's not the original Greek. It's translated into Greek.
I mean, English, if you go back far enough, is original Greek, right? So
No.
It's
really? A Germanic language.
Right.
Oh, okay.
On the Indo-European language tree, Greek is this thumb at the bottom.
Really?
Nothing leads to it, nothing leads from it. It's just ancient Greek to modern Greek, as far as that goes. Okay. I'm just reading it to help me gain fluency in modern Greek.
Okay, cool. And what is Hobbit in Greek? Hobbitus? Or what is Hobbit in
Greek? The modern Greek imports words from other languages pretty much intact. So
it's really?
To Hobbit. So, being the article, Hobbit.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Hobbit.
Thank you.
You're the same.
All right. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. And so, books, candy, anything else?
No, but I'm not a high maintenance person. So.
Okay. All right. Well, on my list, I've got Scotch Guard. You know what's that? Waterproofing spray. Just because the rainy season here, which is kind of lasts from about mid-June to the end of July, things get wet. And it rains so much here that the water starts coming through your umbrella. That's how much
I've noticed that.
Yeah. If you notice a lot of Koreans have these umbrellas with a kind of like the silver lining that I think keeps the water from leaking through. Yeah. That's disconcerting when it's the rain so heavy that... And the umbrella, in fact, doesn't even function. You know, it's all the rest of your body gets just incredibly super wet.
Keeps your hair dry.
Yeah, basically. Your hair, your shoulders.
Right.
And, yeah, that's about it. So I just think Scotch Guard would be something I really wish I brought. I've bought WD-40, and then I kind of spray down my umbrella with
WD-40. With WD-40?
Wow. Well, it's a oil-based water repellent.
Did it work?
I don't know. It imparts a strange smell.
I know. There's the
umbrella.
WD-40 smell.
But you didn't squeak anymore.
No. And when you've got a strange smell, the ajumas on the subway, they just give you a wide berth.
Oh, so that's a good idea.
Yeah. You always get a little free space next to you on the subway for your backpack or something.
I do have a question to sort of off the current topic, but related to the rainy season. Is the rainy season coincide with the mold season? Does the mold season go away?
Sarah?
It's worse in the summer. It does, like, in the winter, the humidity goes away.
Okay, good. Somewhat,
so it's not as much of a problem.
Okay, good.
My other one is a Costco card.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yes.
I think if you're in Korea, Korea does have Costcos, obviously. That's why I say bring a Costco card. You can apply for a membership here, but, you know, everything's in Korean. You'd have to drag your Korean friend down. It could be a bit more difficult. So if you can get a Costco card back in North America, definitely get a Costco card because you can use it worldwide. So America, Canada, and Korea. And I think there's actually a Costco in Japan, too. So if you happen to, you know, nip over to Japan.
Oh, I'm going to Costco.
What, over to Japan?
Sorry. Yeah. Here, I was just, this week I was like just like shouting at Sarah before we cracked the mics open. I'm like, you just turned this into the anti-Semitic show with your thing about, you know, I've been assured there are no Jews in Korea.
Which is not what I meant.
No, I know. It's our first podcast. We have no idea what we're talking about.
It's much harsher.
We love all people. But anyway, so yeah, if you ever pop over to Japan, you can use your Costco card there too. And yeah, but Costco is actually wonderful because Costco has a lot of things you can't just get in Korean grocery stores, even Carrefour. So Costco, you can get like, well, you really enjoy your cheese, you can get your cheese. Hot dog buns. Hot dog buns is another big one. I don't know if you've ever been to a grocery store. Of course you guys have been to a grocery store. Well, no, John's been to a 7-Eleven. All right.
There you go.
Yeah. I've actually been to Cookman grocery store, not far from me.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
But to our listeners, if you've ever been to a Korean grocery store, you find like about 12 different brands of hot dogs, but no hot dog buns.
And that's a shame.
Yeah. Conversely, you can buy hamburger buns, but then the hamburger, like the ground beef is like $12 a pound.
Right.
It's cheaper just to go to McDonald's, buy your hamburger there, just take the meat patty out, bring the meat patty home. You know? I don't know. So, yeah, so there's strange little things like that, but if you really enjoy hot dogs, as I do, then Costco card would be good, because what I'm forced to do, I call it the French-Canadian method of eating hot dogs, where you take a hot dog and you put it in a piece of bread and you just fold the bread around the hot dog.
I don't like that, though. It doesn't taste the same.
It doesn't have the right crust ratio.
French-Canadians.
Well, yeah. Well, that's, you know, French-Canadians were traditionally, didn't have a lot of money. We were kind of the poor people of Canada.
I did not know this.
You know, almost as like an apartheid kind of thing. It's like, you're French, you can't work in government. We're going to keep you out of academia, out of banking. Yeah. So it was the French-Canadian method of eating hot dogs. I am half French-Canadian, by the way. So. All right. The other thing, too, liquid smoke. I've got this on my list, and Sarah and John are both looking at me like, what?
It's a strange one.
Yeah, liquid smoke. You should be able to get it in America.
You can buy it.
Yeah, it's like just sort of like a liquid smoke, and you just sort of add a couple dashes to your spaghetti sauce or whatever.
Ooh, spaghetti sauce?
Yeah, it imparts a really sort of unique flavor.
I can see if you're like cooking something barbecue-ish, you know, adding liquid smoke to that, but spaghetti,
I have to try that. And it's such an unusual flavor, too, that in Korea, if you're kind of like cooking for your girlfriend or your coworkers, your friends or whatever, they can't recognize that taste, but it's a good taste, and they just think you're just this genius, you know. Liquid smoke. All right, so we talked about books. Books are important. If you bring your computer, like you bring your laptop, bring your install CDs, all your original install CDs, because, you know, the internet, it's a scary place, and probably during your one-year contract here, you're going to have to reinstall your operating system and all your drivers, so definitely bring those. The other thing on my list of like what not to bring is socks. Don't bring so many socks, because you can get socks here
very cheap.
Yeah, very, very cheap. Like, they're sold on the street, and they're, you know, like a dollar.
Less than sometimes like 500 won, which is like 50 cents American.
Well, it all depends who you are, right? If you're kind of like you know, a white guy and you're trying to buy socks, and they're like $5.
Yeah.
They see you coming, you know, so you have to kind of know that the price.
Or just have to read the sign on the front of the table. You have to be smart enough to do that.
Well, that's true, too, yeah. but, yeah, definitely buy them at the little street vendor, the sock vendors. There's one right near my apartment, and I felt kind of bad because the street vendor just opens up this, like, table, and he's selling these socks for, like, 1,000 won, a buck, you know, chun won. And he opens up his little street store right in front of an actual store selling socks.
Ooh.
So here this poor suck guy has gone. He's got the business license. He rents. He's doing everything above the board. He's paying his property taxes. And then this guy just comes along and throws a table and just sells these, you know, socks. And they're probably not even real brand name socks. It says Nike, but they're probably, you know, knockoffs. And just drove that poor guy right out of business.
Oh, that's sad.
I know, it is a little bit sad.
Have you ever seen a sock truck?
Yeah, I've seen the sock truck too.
That's an interesting one there.
Drives
yeah,
the
it's
neighborhood
just a
hawking socks.
Well, no, he usually parks at the side of the street, but it's just, you know, the whole back end of his truck is full of socks and, you know, stockings and interesting stuff.
The real question is, what can't you buy from the back of a truck in Korea?
That is so true here. You can buy rotisserie chickens off the back of a truck here.
I just might do that tonight.
2 for 10,000 won.
Right.
And sashimi. Have you seen this?
Oh, yes, I have. They just kill the fish right there right in front of you.
It's like this little truck with an aquarium built into the back, and you just pick the fish you want, and the guy just pulls it out and then just chops its head off.
Yeah.
And cooks it up, slices it up right for you right there. And it's, yeah, it's brutal. But sometimes you walk by his little aquariums, and he's got, like, the flounder and the normal fish, but then he has things that are... I mean, not only do I not recognize it as being sea life, but I don't even recognize it as being life. It just, have you seen these things? It looks like a dog squeaky toy, something you give a dog, and it just kind of floats, and I have no idea what it is.
What color is it?
It's like a reddish orange.
The orange one. Oh, yes, yeah. I call that something else, but...
Oh, really? This is a family show.
Man's parts.
Oh, man's parts, okay. Well, no, we're not technically a family show, but I think if we do anything sort of swearing, then there's iTunes, there's a whole bunch of, like, explicit buttons I have to push and stuff like that.
See, that's not...
Change the RSS feed, I don't know, so... So, yeah, so we're not going to have a lot of...
safe.
Yeah, no swearing and not too much talk about body parts and stuff like that. So, John, anything more? What you should pack, not pack?
I can't think of anything. I did pretty well.
Sarah?
This year I didn't pack winter clothes, so you should, pack for the whole year. Don't forget a season.
If you're going to be coming in fall or winter, you're going to be wearing your winter clothes, your winter coat and stuff like that. So don't pack your summer clothes. Just put all your summer clothes in a box, and because it's t-shirts and shorts, and it's not really heavy stuff, and then mail it to your school address. If you know your school address ahead of time, then just mail it to your school address. Put, your name and... attention, your name, teacher, and then mail it to your school address, and that way you can kind of again save some luggage space, and it won't cost you that much. But
right.
But yeah, if you're coming summer, then you're probably gonna buy a winter coat here, or you're gonna pack your winter coat, something like that. So yeah, so all you people coming in late fall, early winter, you're in luck.
I hate myself, and I want to die. English t-shirt finds.
And we're back with English t-shirt finds. English t-shirt finds. And John, you said during the break. I guess it was our break, but they wouldn't know at home. But during the break, you said you came up empty this week.
I looked all week for anything remotely interesting and couldn't find it.
But again, remember, it doesn't have to be just t-shirts. It can be other things, food, strangely named food products. That's always a really good source, because if you go to the grocery store, you see there's a lot of things called sand, S-A-N-D, like the stuff at the beach. So one cookie I like to eat a lot is called peanut sand, which, you think of peanut sand, doesn't really sound all that appetizing.
Sounds gritty.
Yeah, but it's actually kind of, one of those strange Korean English contractions, so sandwich. So they just take the sand, but in English, sand is not particularly appetizing.
Right.
Sound. Yeah. And the other word one too is pia, water pia, happy liquor pia.
That's my favorite.
Again, that threw me for a long time. I'm like pia, water pia, and I thought maybe. Well, maybe it's like a loan word, something from not English, but they're very, most Korean words, loan words, either come from English or they come from Japanese. But there are a couple from other languages, like the Korean word for a bar is a Hof, which comes from the German word puff. And the Korean word for bread, how do you pronounce that, Sarah? Maybe you're Korean.
Bang.
Bang, yeah, which comes from the French word for bread, pan. So they kind of take the letters and Koreanify it. So I thought maybe pia was like maybe a loan word from Italian or Spanish or something. Pia Zadora. John, you're master of all things Greek. You think it's...
There is a Greek word pronounced pia, spelled the same.
Okay.
Pia, it essentially means any more.
More, okay. All right, yeah. But eventually what I realized was that pia, they're taking it from utopia. So I guess sort of if you call it pia, it means it's like the ultimate thing in Korea, pia. But I guess, but that, you know, just because it's like P, you know.
It doesn't resonate.
Yeah.
It does. It makes me giggle when I hear it.
Especially a water park called Water P. It's like, well, I don't know if I want to be diving in that water.
I don't think so. I mean, sit on the shore, thanks.
That's the reality, sure, that, you know, there's going to be some of that in any pool water, but... I don't want to be reminded of it.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah. Sarah, did you dig up anything this week?
I'm afraid that I wasn't able to.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. All right. Well, I guess this is...
I found a couple of good names.
Okay, hit me.
English names for students.
Okay.
One was William Shakespeare.
Oh, really?
Right. I had a Da Vinci Code.
A Da Vinci Code?
Yes, that's what his name was.
Wow.
And I saw a boy named Kerr. C-U-R.
Kerr.
Didn't have the courage to talk to him about that and explain why he probably didn't want to be called Kerr. But
you filthy Kerr.
Right. Dastard.
A couple of weeks ago, I saw an article that there was a little brouhaha in India over a bar called Hitler, a bar named after Hitler. I think it was in Mumbai, which was called... It's the new name of Bombay. So Bombay kind of being one of the big centers of the whole India's new booming economy. So yeah, so there's a bar called Hitler in India, which then reminded me that a number of years ago there was kind of a big stink in Korea over a bar, I think it was in Busan, was called Hitler Bar. And also as well, like Hitler used to kind of feature a lot in a lot of advertising in Asia, where you'd sort of like, you know, make war on high prices, and they would have a picture of like a Hitler kicking a little wand symbol or something. And of course people in the West were just like, oh my god, you know, how can you celebrate Hitler that way? But if you think about it, I mean, this is Asia. They didn't really, weren't invaded by Hitler, and they don't really have a lot of knowledge of Hitler. So to Asians, Hitler to them is just kind of, he's just another military leader. They don't understand the history of the apocalypse, the Holocaust, and really World War II. So to them, it's just, he was just kind of this big military leader, and he had a lot of energy, and he got his people all behind him, and they just steamrolled over Europe, and that's kind of what they sort of, that's what they're just sort of concentrating on, that kind of thing. So, if you think about, Napoleon, right, you know, Napoleon brandy. We feature Napoleon in a lot of ads.
Right.
But if you went to, like, you know, went back in time, 19th century Europe, and you showed them, like, Napoleon advertising, they would be highly offended.
A little mortified, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, even, like, Beethoven was famous for not only destroying one of his symphonies that he dedicated to Napoleon, but then I think it's, like, 7th symphony he actually dedicated to the defeat of Napoleon. So, so people in Asia don't really quite grasp the horrors of Hitler. So, but it was just to me kind of strange that this Hitler thing is kind of now big in India, where if you looked back at sort of Korea's history, where it kind of went from, you know, third world to sort of first world, and this huge, fast economic expansion, and now India's doing the same, there's this strange parallel that it seems that as your country sort of moves up the food chain, the value chain, that somehow you have to have a Hitler bar at some point in your country's development.
Rite of passage.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, and then people make you aware of why Hitler is maybe not the best thing to celebrate, and then you go, oh, okay.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So I don't...
Have you also noticed...
Is Mussolini okay? No? Okay.
All right. Have you ever noticed that, well, a lot of foreigners come to Korea and they think that, you know, Koreans must be really into, you know, Hitler and stuff like this because you see a lot of swastikas, like, around.
Yes.
But they don't realize that they're backwards and... Well, for one, and secondly, they're a sign of Buddhism, so they're
right,
like,
they
wow, the Koreans really like Nazis.
Millennia or so, yeah.
Do not be alarmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my ultimate t-shirt find was, one day I was on the subway, and this guy was sort of standing, waiting to get out, and I looked, and he had a t-shirt, and it said, Mustache Fighting League. And there are all these, like, little logos at the bottom of people who, I guess... are in the Mustache Fighting League. So you've got cops, you have Indians, cowboys, you have firemen. All people who have mustaches.
Yes.
And so there were little pictures of the hats they would wear in the Fighting League, the Mustache Fighting League. And then there would be like a mustache under their hat, and then under their mustache, you know, the weapons they use in the Fighting League. So the cops, actually, their weapon wasn't the gun. It was like the nightstick.
Ah, right.
Yeah, and the Indian was like the tomahawk, and the cowboy had the little pistols, and the fireman had, I guess the fireman must have had an axe, too. So, yeah. So it's just, I'm like, Mustache Fighting League. Just made no sense to me, but apparently there's like...
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but it was like, there was like a $100,000 prize at the top of the... It was like a flight, you know, like...
Ooh.
Round A, round B, and if you make it all the way to the top, you get $100,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Makes me want to grow a mustache.
I Googled on it because I thought, well, maybe there is a Mustache Fighting League because there's like lawnmower racing. Have you ever seen lawnmower racing?
Never seen it, but heard of it.
I swear to you, my sister's husband, he started in the lawnmower racing league. He's actually started racing lawnmowers.
Is he doing well?
I don't know. He's starting. He used to do, he actually used to do stock car racing. But it wasn't even like a paved track. It was like a dirt track. So you can imagine the quality of people that turn out for a dirt track stock car race.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But so I thought, well, maybe if there's lawnmower racing and there's dirt track stock car racing, maybe there is a Mustache Fighting League. So I Googled on it, and then I found that someone actually... in Korea noticed the Mustache Fighting League t-shirt too and took a picture. I wasn't able to take a picture because I didn't have my camera ready. It just looks weird when you're on a subway and you whip out your camera and take a picture of somebody.
Right, hard to do that subtly.
They're like, what are you doing? Yeah.
Just my shirt.
Yeah. I think it's fine if you're a local. You can just whip out your camera and take a picture. But when you're the foreigner and you kind of look like me, you know, you don't want to offend the locals. So anyway, so I Googled on it, found someone here actually managed to take a picture, but also I found a website in Seattle, someone who's a student at the University of Washington. He has this cartoon, weekly web cartoon, and he has a little Mustache Fighting League cartoon. And the graphics were completely ripped off from his Mustache Fighting League cartoon. And then put on t-shirts in Korea. So I thought, that's, wow. So I emailed the guy in Seattle, and I said, did you know that a really popular English t-shirt in Korea is your Mustache Fighting League artwork? And I sent him a picture, and he got back to me, and he's like, I don't know what to say. I don't know if to be complimented or if I am insulted. And I said, well... you know, considering that, you know, Koreans only really knock off the best, Louis Vuitton and, you know, Christian Dior, you're right up there. Like, it's a badge of honor.
You're really popular in Korea.
Yeah. So he started selling his own Mustache Fighting League t-shirts and, you know, all the rage in Korea.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a happy story.
I hope he does well.
In Korean news...
All right, because kind of big in Korean news is a popular Korean movie has been playing all summer, passed all kinds of box office records called, the Korean name is Gwaemul. I don't know if Sarah, maybe your pronunciation is better.
Maybe,
Gwaemul. Gwaemul, yeah, which sort of means monster, but then the English name for the movie is called The Host. I don't know if you've ever been to film festivals where they kind of do this strange thing where they have a Korean name for the movie, and then they have an English name that's not at all the same as...
It's not a translation, it's a different name.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. It's like there was one movie, a really famous movie called... The English was Girls' Night Out, about these four sort of single women, and it was quite a controversial movie because it was about these four women, and they just... It was like Sex in the City kind of thing, and, you know, they have affairs with married men and things like that. But in the Korean was something like the four shameless women who disobey their mothers and just act like tramps. It was just
that's
this,
not
yeah,
the same.
Exactly. It was a little bit more accurate to the Korean attitude about what these women were up to or something. But in English, it just became Girls' Night Out. You know. Yeah. Anyway, so that this movie, The Host. It's just about this monster that kind of comes out of the Han River. Like, at the beginning of the movie, it sort of explained that, you know, these dastardly American military people, they dumped these toxic chemicals into the Han River.
We did that.
Yeah. And, you know, not like the Han River was just this pristine river.
Right.
You know, just, let's take our children there. And, you know.
So beautiful.
Exactly.
And unpolluted.
So these dastardly American military guys, they dump this horrible toxic waste into the Han River, and then this creature is born and rises and captures school children. And yeah. But what I thought was kind of funny was, okay, so, you know, the first scene is like, you know, the dastardly Americans destroying the pristine Han. And then two scenes later, the Koreans are just throwing trash into the water. And you're a bit like, wait.
Excuse me?
So yeah,
it's the Americans' fault.
Yeah,
right.
It's not our fault. So the movie's been doing, like, you know, boffo.
Boffo. Yeah.
Boffo. Right.
I know the
Sacco.
I know the terminology. So yeah, it's been doing boffo box office, and it's past, you know, all the records of every previous Korean blockbuster. And this is all kind of coming on the heels of the American Free Trade Agreement with Korea. I mean, one of the big things America exports these days is movies and music, entertainment products. So Korea has it's kind of like a Korean content law in theaters. Canadians are sort of familiar, they're called CanCon laws, or for radio, for music. So much music has to be Canadian music. And so the Koreans have something similar. It's called, I call it HanCon, not CanCon, but HanCon, where they have to have so many days have to be Korean movies, just to kind of keep the Korean movie industry alive. But with movies like Gwaemul, The Host, and JSA, and The King and His Clowns, a lot of really...
Old Boy.
Yeah, Old Boys.
Brilliant movie.
Sorry, Old Boys, Old Boy. A lot of big movies are doing well at the box office, and they're getting international acclaim, and they're playing in Japan, and that's important.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of talk about, well, we could get rid of this HanCon law, but then the Korean movie producers were like, no.
Well, everyone wants to protect their own piece of empire.
Exactly. So the Koreans have sort of, they've changed it now. Now it's like not 140 days, now it's 70 days. I'm sort of playing fast and loose with the numbers, but they basically halved it. But, you know, when a movie like The Host is doing really well, it kind of gives a good argument that maybe Korea doesn't need these HanCon rules.
And they're able to compete all on their own without being subsidized by days.
Absolutely. Have you seen any Korean movies, John?
I haven't.
Really?
I haven't even seen one on TV since
really?
I've been there.
Really?
Sarah, have you?
Oh, I've seen tons.
What's your favorite?
Probably... Well, I really did like Old Boy, but I'm a fan of other Korean horror movies as well, like A Tale of Two Sisters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's some good stuff out here. Korean directors, they know what they're doing.
Who's in that? Was that the woman who killed herself? Was she in that movie?
The woman who killed herself?
Maybe not. There was a couple of years ago, or last year, there was a Korean actress who was doing quite well.
I remember this.
She broke up with her boyfriend and she hung herself. And yeah, it was sort of like... It was like losing a NASCAR driver in America. It's like Korea just came to a halt. And they're like, oh my god, she killed herself.
I don't know if she was in that or not.
Okay. Tale of Two Sisters.
Tale of Two Sisters.
What's that about?
Well, it's about... It's a tale of two sisters. No. Just a movie about... Well, what you think is about two sisters, but in the end, it turns out there's only one sister. The other sister died in a freak accident. Or something like that long ago.
Sounds like The Other.
Yeah, someone's imagining that the sister is still there, but she's actually really crazy.
Well, they are starting to remake Korean movies in America now.
Yes, they are.
There's one playing in theaters here now called Lake House with that guy and
Keanu
that
Reeves and Sandra Bullock.
Right. Oh, thank you. Yeah, that guy and that woman. You know the guy who was in that movie with the other woman?
Yeah.
In that place? Yeah.
So, the Lake House, which was based on a Korean movie called Il Mare, the sea or something like that. That was probably the Korean movie's English name. Then the Korean movie, I don't know just what the actual Korean title was. But anyway, but that's not really doing very well. Not playing very well in Korea, oddly. But there's sort of a bit of a controversy, because a lot of other Korean movies have been licensed by Hollywood to be made into English movies.
So like Old Boy.
Yeah, Old Boy. And there was a movie a number of years ago called about these soccer-playing monks, like these gangsters who have to hide out with these soccer-playing monks. And they bought that. They're going to remake that. But, I mean, anything about gangsters. Koreans really like their gangster movies. And it's very easy then to take, like, Korean gangster themes and then make them into sort of Italian mobster movies. It's like, my wife is a gangster. That was another. Again, they licensed that one. And then there was, the most famous one, Strange Girl.
My something girl. My sassy girl.
My sassy girl. And which was really popular, like Hong Kong and a lot of parts of Asia. And again, that's another title that Hollywood has sort of licensed. And so the question is, is Hollywood just going to destroy these Korean stories?
That pains me. I would rather they not do that.
But, my feeling, it's like, well,
it's kind of what Hollywood does, though, isn't it?
I don't like it.
But if you think about it, if I wrote the script to My Sassy Girl, and someone from Hollywood's going to go, we'll give you $1 million for your script, I'd be going,
thank you.
Destroy Korean culture, I don't care.
Yeah,
exactly.
But it's always it always seems so much better in the original, format, in the original language. It's just not as good. Like, some Japanese horror movies are the same way.
Well, you know what was strange for a while is, because there was a ban on Korean and Japanese movies, Korea wouldn't show Japanese movies, and Japan wouldn't show Korean movies. So they actually had to remake each other's movies. Remember the Ring?
Yes.
There was a Japanese Ring, and they remade the Ring in Korea. And there's another Korean movie about this family that sort of gets a hotel, and all their guests start dying. And then they remade that in Japan. I was actually at the.
That one?
It was like The Happiness of the Katakuris Family. That was the Japanese title. And I went to see it at the Seattle Film Festival, and the director shows up. And it was clearly this quite very quirky, funny movie. And so someone, asked the director a question, where did you get the idea for this movie? The truthful answer was, I just bought the Korean script and made the Japanese version. But he didn't say that. He's just like, I really don't know where I get my ideas. Total lie.
I don't know where I get my ideas.
Yeah.
Can't imagine. Thief.
Well, one of the funny things, too, John, have you seen any English movies here?
No, I haven't seen any.
Wow, John, we've got to get you out.
We can talk about it.
Yeah, we got to get you to see movies, we got to get you to the grocery stores, and we got to force more snacks down your throat.
Right.
And feed you live octopus.
Yeah, you're a little skinny, John.
Oh, no, I dress to cover it.
Good job, John.
Thanks.
Eat, bubala, eat.
Eat. God, you sound like my Greek family.
What do they say in Greece?
Phi. Eat.
What is that Greek?
Yes.
Because to me it sounds like fine.
Fine.
Phi.
Oh, phi.
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 Phi to eat it.
Sarah, but you obviously have seen English movies here.
I have.
Well, what I love is the English movies, they're subtitled. Thank God they're not dubbed, because then it would just... We would see no movies here. But they just subtitle English movies in Korea. And people sometimes want to use the Korean subtitling to learn English, to learn Korean. But the what's being spoken on the screen is actually not what's appearing in the subtitles. So like for you know, it's like if you go see you know, like a Samuel L. Jackson movie, and you know, get these beep 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 snakes off the beep 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 plane, you know, then you look at sort of the Korean subtitles, you just say, you know, snakes go.
That's the same. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's like you wanted to learn sort of what the Korean equivalent is, a lot of swear words and things like that.
You don't see it.
You're not going to actually learn. Yeah. So that's the downside. But the movies here are kind of cheap. They're like, I mean, in Toronto, I mean, I remember paying about, it was about $14 for a movie in Toronto. And when I first came to Korea, a ticket was about $6. Actually, kind of, at first I considered buying two tickets. Even if I was only one person, I thought about buying two tickets. Because if you've been to see a really good movie, you kind of understand Koreans don't always watch movies the way we watch movies. In that there's no prohibition against just whipping out your cell phone in the middle of a movie, taking a phone call, or at least checking your SMS messages on your cell phone. So you're kind of like watching a movie, and you know, Legolas is just about to kill the Witch King or whatever, and then you know, there's this eerie, unearthly blue light next to you, and the guy's like, dut, 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 dut. He's checking his his voicemail, and you're like, So I thought, you know, if you buy two tickets, you know,
at least,
yeah, right. you sit one seat, and the other seat's your buffer, you know, it just kind of keeps that little distraction.
Because they do assign the seats here.
Oh yeah, that's kind of cool. Which is good and bad, because which means you can show up 5 minutes before the movie and just
still have a seat.
Yeah, right. Got your seat. But the bad thing is that like really popular movies, the tickets go quickly.
What it sounds like is that I can buy a movie ticket today for a movie tomorrow.
Oh, definitely. If you can navigate Korean websites, it should be no problem.
Yeah, that's the downside.
Right.
You know, as being kind of like stupid foreigners, what we have to do is usually you can go to like a desk where you can buy the tickets.
Yeah,
in
you can pre-book.
Yeah. So usually COEX. COEX is a megabox site.
Right.
COEX is a place I go a lot because the English level there is usually decent enough. I can kind of go and I always try to speak Korean when I try to deal with people. I just don't sort of like, y'all understand English? You understand English?
Because if I speak louder and slower, you can understand, right?
Yeah.
Maybe if I even use an accent.
Sorry.
Speaky the English.
Yeah. Sorry. You know, I guess that's one of the little Canadian biases that we're trying to do a stupid foreigner. We kind of slip into a southern accent. You know?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, it's.
let me apologize. But anyway, so yeah, so I'll go to COEX and I'll be like, if I want a ticket, I'll be like, Hange Pyo, Bunji Oi Jay Wong. Juseo.
And they're like, what?
Yeah.
What movie do you want to see?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They just search, so you want one ticket for Lord of the Rings at 7 p.m. Kamsahamnida. Yeah. So that's always a little embarrassing. But, you know, it's important, I think, to
right.
try it.
You make the effort.
This week's teaching opportunity.
All right, time for our teaching opportunity of the week. Again, we've gone to the Footprints recruiting site. That's footprintsrecruiting.com, all one word. And again, you could just Google Footprints, ESL, Footprints Recruiting, and you'll find it in Google. So first job is teaching elementary middle school students in Miya Samgari. Again, it's at the northern Seoul, where it's not the cool place in Korea. It's a bit laid back, kind of middle class working families, white collar, you know, teachers, things like that. Not flashy, but it's if you're sort of older, as we are, John, you know, you don't have to hit a bar every single night, then it's really not too bad. And again, as I mentioned like last week, it's a lot of cool grocery stores. Yeah. I always thought, you know, one of the signs you're getting older is when, you know, when you're young and you walk through like a computer game store, you get that, oh, computer right. games, you know, right. and then you hit this age where you're like walking through the housewares department and you're like, that is the coolest garlic press I've ever seen.
Oh my god, yeah. garlic.
Except that I still do get like that about computer games.
Oh, really? Wow.
See, and I'm the opposite. Like, grocery stores. Anytime I visit a foreign country, I just want to go to a grocery store and see what they have.
Okay, so this job began in Mia Samgari. Samgari kind of means Sam, which is Korean for three. Yeah, Guri, which means like intersection.
Yep,
so it's a three-way intersection, Samgari. And Mia, I have no idea what Mia stands for.
Mia, I don't know.
Yeah, but... the ad here says something it's close to a place called Heihua, shopping and culinary mecca. And yeah, Heihua is actually kind of cool. Have you been to?
I'd like to go, especially is it a lot of live theater there?
Yeah, there's a lot of live theater. It's really cool on the weekends in summer because there's sort of a big park, and a lot of times they have free outdoor concerts and things like that. Let's see, salary, $1.9 million a month. Monday to Friday. That's very important, Monday to Friday, because a lot of Koreans work Saturdays here, and they may expect you to work Saturday, too.
They'll occasionally try to sneak it in on you.
Yeah, and then they wonder why you don't like working Saturdays. So definitely make sure that's in your contract, Monday to Friday, no Saturdays, or at least 5 days a week, however they want to divide that up. Teaching hours, 30, 50-minute classes a week, so that's not even 30 hours a week. And so that's not a bad position. And then we have another one, Bundong. That's 2 million to 2.2 million won a month, and that's 120 hours a month. So again, 30 hours a week. Now you're teaching adults and students. Now, I don't know if it says anything here about split shift.
I guess that's what we've. When we're teaching adults, more often than not, we're ending up working split shifts, right?
Yeah. Are you aware of the split shift evil?
I'm aware of it. I don't face it, but I'm aware of
it. Yeah. Sarah, have you ever worked a split shift?
I never have, and I never want to.
Yeah, the split shift is basically, and especially if you're teaching adults, because adults have all sorts of different times. Some want to learn English at 7 in the morning, some want to learn at lunchtime, and some want to learn after work. So the school obviously doesn't want to hire, you know, three teachers, so they basically keep you on staff, or they keep you at work. Well, not, they don't keep you at work, but you have to appear at certain times at the school. So you'll show up a couple hours in the morning, a couple hours at lunch, a couple hours at night. And it doesn't sound like a lot, you know, 6 hours maybe a day, but, you know, you're really on call from maybe 6 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, and with these extendo lunches. Yeah. And you can never just sort of put work behind you. And then just go, okay, I'm done. Done my 6 hours. I'm out. I can forget about work. So that's the danger of the split shift. So you kind of got to watch that. A lot of schools have sort of figured out that people will not come to Korea to work a split shift, will not come to Korea to work a Saturday. So they really do tend to accommodate those these days. But, you know, you get the suckers. So you have to be careful of the split shift. And Sarah, again, you're from Bundong.
Yep, it's my Korean hometown.
Yeah, and great and comfy place to live and work.
Definitely.
No lie.
Yep, I love it.
Yeah, so what's something else great about Bundong? Last week it was tree-lined streets, European cafes, and you can see detached houses with garages if you go to the right places. Anything else?
Generally, most of the places that you would live in Bundong, you would get a good apartment because Bundong is a newer city, so they usually put you up in nice, you know, comfy, beautiful office tells. So
yeah, that's important. Get a good apartment.
Definitely.
I trust your apartment is fine.
It's fine.
Do you have a doorman?
No, we don't have a doorman, but we do have a Chinese restaurant next door, and there's a delivery man. He stands by the entrance a lot.
Oh, okay.
He's really nice.
But Korea is quite safe. You usually don't have to worry about people busting in.
But most places, a lot of places in Bundong do have doormen, so it's nice.
It's more status thing than a safety issue, I think. Yeah, but Bundong. But now the downside of Bundong, I think we did discuss last week, is that it's a rich area of town, and it's a nouveau riche.
Right.
Yeah. So, and the children are well aware that they're privileged.
They know.
And even your kindergarten kids. What happened? Your kindergarten kids. What do they say to you?
They think that they know everything just because their parents are, you know, have certain jobs and that they're rich. And my class of little girls, they all know they are princesses. So they expect to be treated a certain way, which isn't necessarily the most conducive to teaching. So lots of fun.
John, your English village, John, what's the sort of the social stratification of the children? Well-to-do or middle class?
Middle to well.
Okay. It seems like it'd be kind of an expensive program.
I thought that it would be much more expensive per child per week than it turns out to be.
Really? Okay. But I think the cool thing about teaching in Bundang is when you talk to your children, especially after they've come back from their summer or Christmas break, is they have interesting stories. Like, you know, we went to Europe, we went to Italy.
We went to Guam, Australia.
They travel cool places.
A lot, yes.
Yeah. But my kids, where I teach, they're very, very, very middle class. And it's like, you know, where have you gone? Where have you visited?
We went to Guangzhou.
Yeah, well, we splashed in a river, and that's...
Hopefully not the Han River.
No, not the Han River, yeah. So Bundang could be interesting for that, too, as long as you can sort of route around the arrogant, overprivileged child thing. Yeah, but again, the children can be much, much more interesting.
Well, I taught on the... Right now I'm in the what we would consider the most affluent area of Bundang, but I lived on the outskirts for a previous job, and those kids were a lot more down-to-earth and really, really cool.
Good. Okay.
So it just depends on the school, really.
But I think the downside I've heard is it's if you're single, it's not really a hotbed of single people because it's very young families, children,
yeah.
And so if you're kind of coming to Korea and you know, you're maybe looking for a single local, then you might not find that in Bundang.
You'll have to go into Seoul.
True, yeah, you might have to trek up to Seoul or something. But yeah, so maybe Bundang's not so great for the single scene. Pretty good. So those are our two teaching opportunities of the week. Again, you can go to footprintsrecruiting.com. You Google for it, you'll find it. Send them an email if you want to apply for those jobs. And mention our podcast, too. That would be kind of cool.
It's a freaky foreigner.
And a new feature we're going to do from time to time is... Freaky Waygook of the week. Waygook actually means foreigner. Waygook. Way means probably. Sarah, any idea what way means?
Way, no clue. I would, you know, make a guess, but I would probably be very wrong.
Yeah. Well, so way, I guess, kind of means just like foreign, and gook kind of means like person. So yeah, foreign person, and freaky. So freaky foreign people, which. You see some, right? John, have you encountered any freaky foreigners?
None I can talk about.
The knives will come out soon, John, don't you worry.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, Korea, I mean, there are definitely a lot of really good people here. You make a lot of good friends. But at the same time, there is that selection of people that they're not high-functioning individuals. And there are more of that... This is the only job I can get class versus...
Sort of the refugee.
Exactly. The John Carters of...
Oh.
You know, when you've been teaching here and you encounter somebody like John Carr in the media, it's like, he's still within that one standard deviation of normality in as far as English teaching in Asia goes. Yeah. I was not surprised when it turned out that he... did spend a wee bit of time in Korea. Credit to Korea, they quickly sussed him out as a freak, and he didn't last too long here. From his resume, it just looked like he was here less than a year.
Oh, really?
A matter of months, so yeah. Like, 3 jobs, 3 months, boom, he was on to Ecuador or something. So yeah, but Sarah, you were at one school, and you had this one great guy, the not high-functioning individual.
No, not at all.
Now, what was his name? We can't give his name. We have to change his name.
We will call him Mr. Bubbles.
Mr. Bubbles, because his name is actually his last name. If you're going to name a monkey, you're going to give a name to your pet monkey. that's one of the names high on your list, his last name. So he kind of started off with an unfortunate last name, name of a show monkey. And so we'll just call, yeah, so we're just going to call him Mr. Bubbles to keep ourselves from being really sued. So Mr. Bubbles.
Well, Mr. Bubbles came in thinking that he was, you know, the most awesome of teachers, that he had such noble aspirations. Oh, I'm going to spend 2 years in Korea and I'm going to be the best teacher ever. But it was quickly apparent to me that, you know, that wasn't going to be so. I mean, he walked into classes and swore that he had, like, the best energy and, you know, all the kids loved him. But, you know, during the day, kids come up to me like, oh my gosh, they're a teacher. Mr. Bubbles' teacher is so scary. Teacher, Mr. Bubbles' teacher laughs like an evil clown. You know, fun stuff like that. Yeah,
really?
Evil clown.
Wow.
Yeah, they said that, which, you know, it was true.
He had a slight medical problem, though, didn't he?
Oh, yes, he did. He had ADD, and he medicated, you know, daily with Ritalin. So, but, you know, what else did he do? He used to like to fart on the kids when they spoke Korean in class.
That was his method of discipline.
Yep, just going to fart on the kids. And, yeah.
Well, that's a deterrent, I guess.
But he was clueless, right? He was clueless as to...
He really was, because he thought he was the best teacher. He thought all the kids loved him. Yeah. And
your boss is trying to figure out, how soon can we fire him?
Right, pretty much. So I got, you know, this huge schedule.
And the farting didn't provide that opportunity?
I'm not sure they ever knew about the farting, but the students told me, and I'm not really going to run to the boss and be like,
right,
hey, guess what? Mr. Bubbles farts on the kids. So not sure how well that went over. But, yeah, so I ended up with, like, this horrendous schedule working, like, from my whole shift, you know, back-to-back-to-back classes where he had, you know, several breaks, and that's just because, you know, they didn't want him in with the kids so much.
He scared them.
They kept taking away classes from him
and giving them to me, because, you know, some of the kids even refused to do work if he was still their teacher.
But there was evidence before his very eyes that maybe he wasn't fully loved by every single child.
No, yeah, out in the hall there was a, you know, somebody wrote on the wall a big F you, Mr. Bubbles.
And did he see that?
I'm not sure if he saw that, but, you know, I wish I had a camera that day.
He didn't last long after that, though.
He was gone within several months, but it wasn't because he got fired, though.
Oh, really?
No, he didn't get fired. He just decided that this job wasn't for him and that he wanted to move on to something else.
Wasn't making full use of his talents.
Right, but I think that he kind of, you know, maybe in the end got the hint that they didn't really like him so much.
Well,
so
F you scrawled on a wall. That's a good hint.
Yeah.
That's a good hint.
All right, and that's podcast number 2. And again, I'm your host, Carl, and with me are your hosts, John and Sarah.
Bye.
See you next week.
And again, you can visit our blog at gokorea.livejournal.com or email us your questions at gokorea@gmail.com. And we'd love to get email, and we'd love to answer your email, so hit us up. And bye-bye.